Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Ksuvas Daf Pehei. Ksuvas Pehei. We left off Pei Dalet Amid. We started a whole slew of stories, not really Agadas at all, stories that relate to Tfisa and the like, whether when a person grabs. We were particularly discussing the Sugya, if a person dies, left over loans, left over Ksuva, left over Yershim, if the creditors grab before the Yershim, are they able to keep it or not? So we said that Tfisa Mechayim works. But Tfisa, once the person dies already, we said, according to Rabbi Akiva, doesn't work. Retired from all, it could work. Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't work. We're bringing stories that relate to that machlekes. It seems from our Gemara that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. And the question is, if one does paskin like a retired, do we reverse the psak or not? Rosh Hashanah says, yes, you reverse the psak. That's how far we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and you reverse the psak that when a dying paskin like a retired, and Rabbi Yechanan wasn't as convinced. Okay, so we start bringing different stories that are related. We're up to Pei Dalet Ambez. Let's pick it up from Debenasiya, which is roughly, it's the last person in the lines. Debenasiya, first one has toughest, about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. Debenasiya, people in the house of the Nasi, toughest Amasa, the Aspim Simta. They grab the Amasa, the maidservant, from the estate where the person died, left of a maidservant. They grabbed it from the Yasmi, and it was located in a Simta. We discussed yesterday a discussion about whether when the person dies, if the assets are in the location by the Yisayimim in a private place, for sure they inherit already, and a Tfisa after that's no good. But what if when the person died, the asset was in a Rishis Rabim, or even a Simta, like the sides of Rishis Rabim? It's a public area, it's public property, happens not to be a very busy thoroughfare, but it's a public area, so maybe over there the Tfisa would still work. That is the discussion. So yes, they were sitting together, and Rabbi Abba was sitting with them. And the story came in front of them. Amarlu, they said, the first three, Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Vo, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Papi, and Rabbi Yitzhak after Paskin, Shapra Tfisu, L'chera, the person grabbed it properly because it was only in a Simta. Amarlu, Rabbi said back to them, Mishnah Debeit Nasi, Ninu, Machnif Yisrael, because this fellow who grabbed was for the Beit Nasi, the creditor, was for the Beit Nasi, and therefore you're being Mechanif him, you're trying to flatter them, you're giving a wrong psak just to make him feel good. Hadayin Dadi Fyar, we had a case yesterday where someone, a judge, we had a Gemara earlier in the staff, where a judge paskened like Reb Tarf, and that Tfisa works after Misa, Fahadri Lishakish of Zimnayo, and Rishakish made them reverse the psak, he's made them reverse the din, because the Tfisa after Misa doesn't help. And clearly over here, Rabbi Abba is saying, even in a Simta, a Tfisa after Misa is not going to help, and therefore they have to return this Amsa, the maidservant, to the Yershin. Okay, next story. Yemir Bechashu. Again, we're paid Dalet on a base, which a few lines up from the four lines up at the bottom of the page. Yemir Bechashu have a masik be Suzi Bel Gavra. Yemir Bechashu had a claim. He had a claim that so and so owed him money. Shachav B'Shavik Arba. The fellow who owed the money died. Left over a boat. Amalei Shluchei. So Yemir said to Shliach, Zil Tafsede. Go grab the boat. Do a tefisa on the boat. Also Tafsede. So the Shliach went and grabbed the boat. Pogabe Rav Papa Ravuna Rav Shua. And Rav Papa Ravuna Rav Shua sounds like in the water still bump into this Shliach that grabbed the boat. Amalei said to the Shliach, At You grab the boat in a place you were being teifus on behalf of the Bachar, being teifus on behalf of Rav Yemer, but Makam Shechad Acherim. A tfisa on behalf of a Bachar, a creditor, in a case where that tfisa is detrimental to others, meaning there are other creditors, is not a good tfisa. If the creditor himself grabbed it, that'd be something else. But for you to grab it on behalf of one of the creditors, that doesn't work because it's Chav Acherim. Namely, we're going to see in the next lines of the Gemara, who were other creditors? Rav Papa and Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua themselves were creditors of this same deceased fellow. So, if one grabs for others, not for themselves, if one grabs for others in a scenario where it's Chav, where it's to the detriment if one grabs for someone else, but it's detrimental for other people as well, it doesn't work. It has to be only one grabbing for himself. So, okay. Tafsu'inu. So once they took it away from the Shliach, they kept the Rav Papa Rav Huna. They wanted each to do a tfisa on their own, but now they're not even working in tandem. Each one wanted to do a tfisa on the whole boat themselves. How did they do that? Rav Papa Maluche. Rav Papa rode the boat, and Rav Huna must have had oars or something, and Rav Huna Ben Yerushua, Mam Tuch Bashla, he pulled the boat with a rope. Maybe it was in shallow waters, or maybe he had a different boat that he was on, and he was tugging the boat with the stream. Each one claimed that they were kanin, they acquired the entire boat. Pagabo, Rav Pinchas Barami, the story where they met Rav Pinchas Ba'ami, Amar Lui said, Rav Shmuel Tavayim, Pushes Zibur, Menach Bishas Rabim, that none of you were carrying the boat. Because even Rav Tafrit's Psaq, that Tfisa after Tfisa helps, is only when the money is piled up and resting in Shas Rabim. Remember we quoted yesterday, Rav and Shmuel Damar Tavayim, it only works if it's piled up in Rishas Rabim. Even if it's in a Simta, it doesn't work. And the presumption was this boat was not considered Rishas Rabim. It was close to the shore, close to the docks. It wasn't considered Rishas Rabim. Amar Lui, so they both, Rav and Rav and Yeshua said to Rav, Pinchas Ba'ami, not true. Ana nami mecherfusa d'raytavsina. We grab the boat from the currents out in the middle of the river. That is the equivalent of Rishus Rabim. So that's not a taina. We would tefus it from like a place like Rishus Rabim, and therefore it should work. Also, coming to Rava, they came from Rava again. They came in front of the reason why these discussions came up to both of Pinchas Ba'ami and Rava is because they were fighting themselves. And Pinchas and Ruvin Beit Yeshua were fighting themselves. Who has rights to this boat? They came from the Rava. Amul Rava says kaki chivuri. White geese. White geese is an expression. It's not necessarily a, it's not so derogatory. It means like, you know, Tamid Chama with long white beards. White geese, Mashal Chiglimi Dinshi, you take off the clothing of the people. Meaning, this was a Taina. You take the clothing off the people, you're taking away the stuff that belongs to Yisayimim. Hachem Rav Nachman, who shtafas Machayim. Tfis only helps when the person was still alive. Meaning, this we're going with the Pasuk Rabbi Kiva. A Tfisa Achamisa Bechlal doesn't help. So, your Tfisa, forget about that guy who was Tefis. We're tzchav lacherim as a shliach, and therefore you took it from him. Your tefisa also doesn't work because you're being tefis after misa. Avimi, next story. Avimi braid rav avo havas bezuzi bechaza. Avimi, the son of Rabbo, actually important to get the name to remember the name over here. Avimi, the son of Rabbo, havas bezuzi bechaza. He was owed money. He had a claim against someone from bechaza. That's a place. Shaduna biyad chama braid rav avada. Sorry, he owed money. Someone from Beis Chazai. So he sent the payment. Shadrinu b'yad Rav Chama b'yad Rav Avo. He sent the payment with in the hands of Rav Chama b'yad Rav Avo to pay this his creditor. Alzap Renu. Chama went and paid. Amar Lu, after he gave the money, Havli Shtar, he said to them, okay, give me the loan. Give me the shtar. I need to get rid of, I need to bring back the shtar document to either rip it up or give it back to the borrower. Amar Lay. So the creditor from Chazai said, Sitroininu, the money you paid me was from a different loan, not for the shtar. Basically, the claim was that Rabbi Avimi Bredervo owed, let's call it $100 twice over. He owed $100 twice. One time there was a shtar, one time there was on one loan, there was no shtar. So when the shliach Chama came to pay the debt of $100, he was paying it to get the shtar. But the creditor said, no, the money you gave me, that wasn't for the shtar, it's for the other money that the same debtor owed me. Also, this story came from the Ravo. This is the reason why I said the names are important, because we said the story was with Avimi Braid de Ravo. And now this Shaila, whether or not the money is, the Malda can claim the money is went for towards a different loan, whether the Malda can claim it or not, is being brought as a Shaila to Rabavo. That's Avimi's father. Funny situation. You bring a Shaila where the judge, the Pesach, because it was one of the litigants' father. So the first discuss, either it came to Ravo, this doesn't mean for a Psak. Ravimi came to vote for advice, how to approach the Shaila. What's his claim? Does he have rights or not? And Avo gave him what the halach ruling would be, but it wasn't actually a real ruling because he couldn't rule because it was a son. That's why Malach, or another Malach, because there is a concept that if the both of the Bali Dvarim agree to use a certain judge, even if it's related to one of the parties, that would work. If the Lashon is, if one of the Bali Dvarim says, Neman alai avicha, if he says, I trust your father, I know he's an honest person, he's not going to sway the case in your favor just because of nepotism. No, he's not gonna do that. He's gonna judge it fairly. If both litigants agree, then it could work. So maybe that's the case over here. Okay. Says Gemara. Also going to Ravimi Ravo Amalei. So Ravo said to his son, Isl Sadi Ratinu, do you have witnesses that you paid Bechlal? Do you have, forget about where the 100 should go towards. Do you have witnesses that you even gave the 100? Amalei. So the shliach / his son said, no, I don't even have witnesses that I paid. Amar lei, migi dichal, someone told me yesterday, migi dichal, lay, since if the people, the Beit Chazai, the creditors, could just claim they never paid. They're believed to say they're taking the money for a different loan, because if they want, they could just say, you never paid me. Bring me proof you paid me. Don't aid them. So what payment? What did you pay? So since they could have, if they were liars, they could have denied the payment, they're neman also to say, that amiga now, to say that the payment went towards another loan that's owed, a different owed loan, and therefore his son, Rabavini, is going to lose the case. Ask Gemara now, Shaila. Okay, so Ravimi now has to pay another $100 to get back the shtar. So what happens to the shliach? does he have to pay because he caused a $100 loss to Avimi or not? Does the shliach have to pay for his negligence? He should have taken the shtar first before making the payment. Amar Bashi, Chazina, we look at the situation. If the Avimi had told the shliach, take the shtar and then give the money, Mishalim, the shliach didn't listen to his instructions. He caused a loss by not listening, and therefore he certainly has to pay. However, if the debtor himself said, if he had said himself, pay the money and make sure to get the shtar, he didn't give strict instructions to make sure to get the shtar first. So it's a normal course of action to pay the money and expect at the same moment, you know, who gives what first? The guy that doesn't give the shtar first, if no one trusts each other, you're not going to be don't do anything first, right? So it's normal that you could do one first or the other. If the debtor had said, pay the money and give back the shtar in that order, then the agent, the shliach, would not have to pay. The lay the disputes the says, either way, the shliach does have to pay damar lay, because the debtor could tell the shliach, famous idea by shluchim in general, I only sent you to do good by me and not to mess me up. Paying $100 first and not collecting the shtar totally messes me up, because now I'm left for nothing. I don't have a star, I don't have $100. So he could tell you, I only made your shliach to do good for me, not bad, and therefore the shliach would have to pay. There is a big discussion in the Mefarshim. Why would the shliach have to pay? Let's say the shliach was negligent. Let's say he was talking negligent, that he had strict instructions. First take the star, then pay. And he didn't listen. Still, all this is a grumma. It's a grumma. He didn't do anything to the money. What he did, the money, he did what he's supposed to. He gave the money to the creditor. What he did, the chayr was, is he didn't properly collect the shtar. Okay, and by not properly collecting the shtar, what happens? It gives the ability to the malva to collect again, to collect the shtar again. So that's a grumma. That's a grumma. There's no direct damage. Yeah, be the shemayim, maybe he has to pay. But be the adam, he should have to pay. Why is that? We're passing bankach, he's going to have to pay money. This is a question that chayr and ask quickly. The Nesiva says that there is an act. There is a direct grievance in an act that the shliach did, namely, not just a grievance, it's not just a grumma. The giving over of the money against the instructions of the Baal, we're not doing it properly, that giving over is the hezek. That's a mice hezek. Meaning, grumma is, I call, by the way, classic case of grumma would be, let's say I find a shtar that happens to have been perua, and I go and I give the shtar back to the malva. So that, now the malva's ability, if he's not an upstanding guy, to go double dip and collect the money again. That would be a grumma. I'm a grumma over there, causing the malva to have the ability to collect again. Over here, I'm more of a direct mazah. I took the money from the debtor, and I gave that money away, b'pshia, in a way that I wasn't supposed to, and that makes me more of a direct mazah, and therefore, they can be chiyav, even b'di adam, they can be chiyav. Now, before we go further, just one other quick point over here, on this idea of sidrai, where the malva says, the money you gave me, that's sidrai, that's for something else, for another chayiv. So is that taka within his rights to always deflect the monies? Meaning, Malva's owed money by the Leva for two different loans. And the Leva comes to pay money. He says, I'm paying you specifically for this loan. Now, that's what I'm paying you now. This is what this money's toward. Is it the Leva's right to choose where he's paying his money to? Or does the Malva have right to say, I don't care. You're saying you paid for that loan. I'm using it against some other loan. Is that the Leva's right? Says the Ran, Arav Sugi Zariah, that the Malva can always choose where the money goes to. The Malva could choose where the money goes to, which loan it goes to. Even if the Leva specifically wants it to be for A, Malva could choose it's for B. If there's two different loans, in our case, it's very clear. The Malva has one loan Bishtar, and one loan is Balpeh. The Malva clearly wants the loan to the payment to be for the one that's Balpeh. Again, not over the one that's Bishtar, because the one Bishtar, he'll still be able to collect later. The Malva could channel up the Leva, could say all day, I want it to go towards the loan Bishtar, and the Malva could take the money and switch it. What's the source? What's the reasoning behind this? So the Torah brings from the Sefer Baal Trumas, because we have a famous concept, Eved Levelish Malva. The Leva is considered indebted. He's considered like an Eved to the Malva, and that power gives the Malva the power to channel loan to whichever loan that he, to channel the payment to whichever loan that he so chooses. The Shuvas Rashba explains that's actually, it's all based on the power of Tfisa. Just like there's a concept of Tfisa, if someone's owed money and he grabs, he's got to keep it. So to over here, the Malva is like being Tfisit. Yeah, the Leva Taka meant to pay for A. The Malva's being Tfisit. He's grabbing it for B, and that works. What is a Nafkamina? Nafkamina is, if it's been, whether it's within Tfisa or whether it's within Eved Levelish Malva, a very basic Nafkamina. Let's say Ruvain sells an item to Shimon. He sells an item to Shimon, and Shimon owes Ruvain money. Shimon doesn't owe Ruvain money as a borrower. He didn't borrow from Reuven. He did a transaction. He just didn't pay the money yet. So if you're saying the loan, this works with the, and then he has a separate loan, let's say, the separate loan. So now the seller wants to channel the first payment that he gets, not, let's say, for the sale. He wants to channel for the loan, or vice versa. So if you say the power that the Malva has is the power of tefis, like the Rashba, who cares? It doesn't make a difference if it's a loan. They both originate as a loan, or one originates as a loan and one originates as a sale. Bottom line is the Malva has the power of tefis, and he's tefis it for whichever debt he wants to put it towards. Whereas if it's a vert of Eved Levelish Malva, so then the money that the buyer is paying for the purchase, he's not an Eved Legabi, he's not a Levi, and therefore he doesn't have a status of an Eved Legabi that Bechlal, and therefore he could say, I'm paying the Stavka for this purpose, for the purchase purpose, and the Malva will not be able to channel it for something else, but the Chayav be Tali in those two reasons. Okay. So, more stories. He had said, Mifkdi Gaba Malega Tishtari. There's a woman who had like a folder full, a pouch full of shtaris that the of someone deposited with her. And the owner of the shtaris passes on. Also, Yashim Kotavim Lemine. So, the Yashim of this, the Yashim of the deceased who had all the shtaris, they wanted to get back the shtaris, all these notes of credit that their father had. So she said to them, I grabbed them in the lifetime. Basically, your father owed me money, and Mechayim, I grabbed them as my security to get back the money that I'm owed. So until I get back the money I'm owed, I'm not giving back those shtaros. Also, they came to Rav Nachman, said to her, do you have any witnesses that the father who died, he came to get back the shtaros while he was alive? He came, and you didn't give back to him? Meaning, he gave it to you as a pekadon. That's not called a tefisa. If you have witnesses that he tried to get it back and you didn't give it back, that stage would be a tefisa. But if you have no witnesses, Amar Lei Lai, she says, I don't have witnesses. Im Kain, so Rav Nachman says, if that's the case, have a tefisa lachamisa. Then, for all intents and purposes, your tefisa is right now. When the kids came to claim, he said, no, I'm keeping it as a security for the money I'm owed. Yeah, but that means you'd be tefisa right now. And that's a tefisa after misa. Tefisa lachamisa, like Lamia. Tefisa after misa, a tefisa that happens posthumously does not work. He hits up. The Chai Vishvua Bedin and Rava, there's a woman that was Chai Vishvua in Rava's Bezdin. Amalei Basra Chizah, Basra Chizah told Rava, Basra Chizah, of course, was Rava's wife. Basra Chizah told, we always say the story that she was sitting on Rav Chizah's lap, and Rava, and I think it was Ma'arkva, was sitting in front of Rav Chizah said, whichever one, who says to his daughter, who do you want to marry? She said, I want to marry both. I want to marry both of them. And Rava said, I'll be number two. I'll be second. And Taka, she married first one of Rukfa, who then passed away eventually, and then she married Rava. Okay, so Rava's wife, Bas Rav Chizah, says to Rava, don't trust this woman. I know about this woman that she's Chash HaShvua. She's suspect for full Shvuas. After Rava's Shvuas connected this, Rava said, you know what? Let's not make her swear. Let's make the one against her swear. Whoever's disputing her, let's put the Shvua on, meaning normally it's the person who's obligated to pay swears to deny that they owe the money. In this case, she would have to swear to deny she owes the money. But since Rav Chizah told Rava, don't trust her, we have the other guy become a nishma of an idol, swear and collect. This is Shaila. What does it mean? Chash HaShvua. What made her Chash HaShvua? Since Mechleikis Nurshainim, Taisvus learns that she was Chash HaShvua because she was known to use Shem Shemayim Levatala. Unbelievable. Once a person, Chalila, uses Shem Shemayim Levatala, so we can't trust them to not swear falsely because they anyway don't mind using Hashem's name Levatala. The Ritva says, no. She was Chashit. She was known elsewhere, maybe not in the context of Bezdin, but she was known to actually swear falsely. And therefore, she's Chash HaShvua. Okay. Zimna Avias Kamei Rav Papa Ad Rava. Masa. Another time, Rav Papa Ad Masa was sitting in front of Rava. I see Lai Ushtar Gabe. A star came in front of them, in front of Rava to be collected. Amalei Rav Papa says, "You don't pay the star for you." Rav Papa says, "I know the star has been paid. I can't believe it's being collected again. I know it's been paid." Amalei. So Rava said to Rav Papa, "Ikinish Achin Vade Lamar. Do you have another aid to testify with you? Do you have another person to testify with you that this star has been collected, and therefore we can dismiss the star? I can't trust you alone. You're an Ein Echad." Amalei Lai. So Rav Papa said, "I don't have another aid." Amalei. Avakav Dika Mar. Even though we have you and your Chashif Yid, I don't doubt you for a second. You're Ein Echad. Ein Echad Lav Klumi. One aid and one aid is nothing. Amalei. Rav Masa. Who was present, who was sitting there with her papa, he said, so when it came to your wife, Pastor Fizda, saying about the woman being suspect of Shavua, you flipped the Shavua from her onto the other party, you switched the deal, you trusted her fully. And over here, if Papa not trusting, should her papa not be as good, as worthy as the daughter of Fizda? Answers Rava, a very practical response. I'm not judging whether Rav Papa's lying. We don't think he's a liar. But at the end of the day, Pasav Chizda, I know intimately enough to know that what she's saying for sure, if she's making this comment, for sure, it's true. So it's like when she says it, I know it to be a fact. by Papa, and I can have a special dinim. We're not going to get the regular dinim edus over there. I can alter the outcome in order to avoid a pitfall of someone who's chashash shvuah swearing for no reason. Whereas over here, Papa is like kivin begavei. I know he's a mile kivin begavei. Over here, I know he's a chashma person, but I don't know. I don't know how exacting, how perfect his testimony is, and I can't just rely on it alone. Amar Papa, Hashem Amar Kimi Begavei. Well, once Rav has established that Kimi Begavei Milsi, having a clear belief that someone is saying the truth, is considered a factor in order that you take into account, even if it's only a single person, you take into account in the Psak. So Kigain Abba Bar Murray to Kimi Begavei. If I would hear testimony from Abba Bar Murray, who I'm Kimle about him, that he never ever lies, Karin Nishtar Ba Apuwe, I would actually tear Pashtar on the basis of what he says. Says about Karin, you actually rip up Pashtar on the basis of this Erechid, rip up Pashtar. You want to say don't collect. What did Rabbi do before? Rabbi said that instead of the woman swearing to protect herself, the claimant could swear to collect. So he moved the Shvuah from the woman to the claimant. But he didn't just rip up the star based on the testimony of one person. Says Gemara, El Maran Nishtar Apuwe. You're right. What it means, we probably meant to say, I would downgrade the star on the basis of what Rav Ami would say. Abba Murray, I should say, because I'm killing Gemara, he would downgrade the star, but he wouldn't actually tear up the star. He gets the Achai Veshvua, Beidin to Bivi Barabai. A woman was a Bivi Shvua in the Bezin of Bivi Barabai. Amalai, who Baldavar, Tasi Veshtab and Masa. Let her come and swear in our hometown, let her swear where we live, Efshim Machafsa Maida. Maybe over there she'll be embarrassed to swear falsely, and she'll admit that she really owes the debt. Amalai, who? So she said to the people there, okay, fine, kiss me zechusa, write a letter that says that in the name of the court that I came to be judged and I swore that I'm not owed the money. I won't have the letter in hand that when I swear, they'll give it to me. So write a letter, don't give it to me, give it to these shluchim, and when I swear down the town, they'll give me the letter. But I want a letter from this court over here right now that if I'm going to go swear, I'll go swear where he wants me to swear in my hometown. But I want a letter from this court, this chashuv court, that I swore and I don't owe the money. Amr Rabbi Rabbi Kuslov. Rabbi Rabbi says, no problem. Write it for her and give it to Shliach. It's all good. Amr Papi, big insight over here. Mishdasi Mimlai, because you come from Mimlai. Mimlai was a place where people lived short lives. They lived short lives. So they want to say it's descendants of Beis Eli. So Amri, Amrasu, Muli Milsi say words that are also incorrect, that are short. Hamar Rav Rashi brings another pshat as well, but it's a similar idea. Hamar Rav says Hashar to Dainei. This Hashar to Dainei, that was which was written in front. This was which was written by the Dayanim an Asharta. That's that they're like certifying in the courts. If it was written before the witnesses testify about the signatures, so the Asharta is Bezin certifying Ashtar. And they write up the Asharta before the witnesses actually certify their signatures, and they wrote it up so it should be kind of like for efficiency purposes. They had some time. They wrote it up, and when the eight, like this is prepared, when the Eidim come, they're not going to write it then. They can just say, here, give it back to the, they can give the Ashtar back to the whoever, the Ashtar holder with the certification. If they write it before the Eidim come and testify by the signatures, soon as possible. Why? I'm a Mexican Shikha. Because they're writing that we verified these signatures. They didn't verify yet. Yeah, you're not giving it over until it's verified, but you wrote it before it's verified. That's considered Mexican Shikha. So good. So, Achara Mexican Shikha. This Bezin's writing that she swore, and therefore she should be believed, but she didn't swear yet. She's going to swear. To write now that they swore, even though you're not giving her the Shtar, but to write the Shtar itself, it looks like it's Mezuif Matechai, it's Mexican Shikha, and therefore it's no good. This is very relevant. We had last week, of course, with the Prisbals. We had the idea of course, and the end of the year of Shemitah, everyone writes a Prisbal. Sometimes for efficiency, it could be easier, theoretically, if you know you have a whole slew of people from the shul coming, and the rabbi and the two Danim that he's going to work with them know the names of all the people, the gabbai, they can sit there and kind of write out all the principles, wait till the people come, and give them the principle to give, right, and do the transaction then, but it's already pre-filled, to kind of pre-fill it out, not so simple, because the heart is Mexican shikri. This is why some people, by ksuva, they leave out the word vikinyana. They prepare most of ksuva, and leave out the word vikinina. They leave it out, why? Because you don't want to write that the ksuva already had a kinyan and is all done properly when the parties aren't even here yet. It's again mechsik shikra. Others say no. Others say it's not really mechsik shikra. You're not signing the edim till later on. You can fill everything out. And adrab, if you wait till the moment of the ksuva itself to actually fill it out, and it ultimately leads to mistakes. You forget things. You leave out some things. In the end, it can lead to other passages. Others say you don't have to be so machmer. As long as it's not a full completed shtar, then it's okay. But the concept of mechsik shikra applies in other cases as well. Valesa. Samara says, Rav Papa's tain is not true, but Rav Nachman, not Rav Nachman. I'm Mary, see, I feel much bashful, but this is talking about by a get. Even if a get was found in the garbage, v'chas by v'nasla, and he pulls out the get, he signs it and gives his wife's kasher. The get's kasher. Rav Meir holds, famous at Machlokes and Gittin, Meir holds that the chasimus is what makes the get. So as long as there's no signatures there, if you sign it at that point, chasimus on the Shema, it's a kosher get. A few rabbanon, and even the rabbanon say you cannot use such a get. Lay pligal der Meir elik begitin Hashem. They argue dafka begitin Hashem, but you need the ksiva to be the Shema. Ksiva meaning the main components, the tariff, the names, who it is, the place, the location, the zman. That has to be written in the Shema, right? The standard form of it of the get could be written stam, but the ikker points have to be written in the Shema, and over here it's already filled in, so the beginning of the Shema, therefore it's no good. But avashar's bama would be read the Shema, the Chum would be minda. But what do you see? You don't say that since the Shema is completely filled out already, it's considered a mechsek shikra. Damar basi mar bechran shar shalava by opara, a shtar that was used for halva and it was paid back already. He can't go back and mar against the shtar again. Shifar numchal shibude. He can't reuse it because the shibud of that shtar was released. Make a dig again. There's a technical issue. Time of the numchal shibude. The reason is because the shibud was released. Avol. The Mechzik Shikra top on base, but to use it again, let's say you repeat the loan, and anyone uses it again, you say, Mechzik Shikra, the paper existed before the second loan. No, we say it's not a problem. So we see that Papa's argument, we're not concerned about Mechzik Shikra, if it's the fact that the shtar existed before the transaction takes place, we're not going to be so concerned. We see bias from multiple places that it's okay, as long as it's being done properly, it's being used properly, it's going to be fine. Who gavra? Dafka deshav magrina said sari pasidina. There was a person who left seven precious pearls in a kerchief. He bay Ramashia bay Ravuda Mishuma Levi. He left it as a safekeeping by the grandson. Ramashia, the grandson of Shimon Levi, Shachar Ramashia died. And he didn't give any instructions about that, about those pearls. Didn't have a chance. He died without giving instructions about who those pearls belong to. Asmani Rami, the person who deposited by the Ramesha came from Rami and said, it's mine. Amar Lahu, Rami said to them, Chadal Yadana Beit Ramesha, Barbeit Rav Yishuv and Levi, Le'amin. I know about your father, Ramesha. He wasn't a wealthy person. It wouldn't make sense that he owned pearls. V'yayid HaKiyav Simane. Furthermore, the claimant came and he gave Simanim to show which that the pearls are his. So 2 points on this. First of all, Taisa says that it's not Chadal V'ayid. It's not two separate svaras. You need both. You need the fact that we're assuming he doesn't belong to Rav Meisha because he wasn't a man of means. He wouldn't have these seven precious pearls, number one. And number two, he also gave simanim to show these are his. They claim it's not simanim. It's not either or. It's a combination of both. Point number one. Point number two is actually absurd. Taisa points out that if the Rav Meisha was alive and he was to claim that, no, it's mine. I bought it. I found it. Let's say he claimed it's his. Avada, we have a chazaka, and even though he's poor, we believe it's his. Over here, the point is, because he's gone, and we don't have him to tell us what it is, and we're going with a little bit with circumstantial evidence, we could say that because he wasn't a man of means, because soon it wasn't his, but if he was alive and he claimed it was his, Avada, the fact that he's poor doesn't play. You don't say a person is poor, doesn't make sense that he owns this fancy item. No, if he's holding it and he's claiming it's his, he has every right to be believed. Okay. This only worked if the claimant wasn't someone that would frequent Ramesh's house. If you frequent the house, then you know what we say? Aim attack, it wasn't Ramesh's, it was a third party's, but not this guy. In the Shachrin Afkin, a third party was the one that deposited it, and this guy just knows the Samanu because he saw it many times. He saw the pearls in Ramesh's house, he waited for the opportunity. Ramesh died, and he went to falsely claim it, and therefore, the fact that, since he visits frequently, the fact that he has a simon in it would not be a good simon. A person, he deposited a silver cup with chasa, chasa died. Suddenly, Philippaka didn't give instructions to his children about this item, this pekadon. Asman Rachman came from the Rachman. Amr Rachman says, "Yadan bechasul le'amid." I know Rachman wasn't wealthy to have such a silver cup. V'yayid hakav simana. And furthermore, the claimant is giving a simon. And we only say the simon works for the claimant if he wasn't someone that frequented the chasa's house. If this claimant used to frequent the house, we'd say no, it doesn't belong to the most a third party. And narvas, this guy saw the simon when he was there many times in the house, and therefore we wouldn't believe him with the fact that he's giving a simon. Who gav Oud of Afghan, another story on the same lines. Afghan Tachsebe Rav Dimi Achua this Rav Safra. He deposited a garment, a silk garment, with Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra, Shachar Rav Dimi passed away for the pagan. Then he gave instructions to his Yershim about what to do about this garment. Askman Rav, they came from the Rabba. The claimant came saying it was his. Amr Lu, Chadu Dan Bei Ravdimi Le Amid. He wasn't a wealthy guy to own a fancy silk garment. Vayin Hakiyav Simana. Furthermore, the claimant is giving a simon. Therefore, give it to him again. Vayin Amar El Le Ragel Dan Vafakasam. Only if the claimant was someone that frequented Ravdimi's house. Amr Ragel Dan Vafakasam. Ema in the Shachin Afkin. We say it's a third party that was that left as because near Ve'iu Mechzichazi, and the claimant merely saw it, and therefore he's making this claim. Hahu Gavra. Here's another again. Write the stories for related to people that are dying. But this is a new line of stories. This is identification of who the recipient should be of the gift. Who damrle nechasim tuvye? A fellow was before his death. He said, "Give my nechasim to tuvye." Shachavi died. As tuvye came and said, "It's mine." Amar beirkan hariba tuvye. Tuvye came. Yeah, tuvye came. The guy, the deceased person, said, "Give it to tuvye." The chari is right. Give it to him. Amar tuvye. If the dying person said tuvye vasa rav tuvye, says Amar, what if the dying person said tuvye and someone named rav tuvye came? Someone who was a tamachacha became. They used to refer to as rav tuvye. The tuvye amar. He said Latavya. The Rav Tavya Lamar didn't say Rav Tavya, and therefore you don't give it to this Rav Tavya because we say it must be someone else. Vienish to Gizbe, but if he was close to him, let's say he grew up, he's childhood friend, he's old Chavrusa. So old friend still refers to his friend as Yasl instead of Harav Yasl, or Rav Yasef, because he grew up with him as a friend. So Hagizbe, since he's close to him, it makes sense he's called him Tavya, even though he's not Rav Tavya. Asa Shetavya, two Tavya's come. If one of them is just as a neighbor, and the other one is Tam Chacham Kaidim, we say Tam Chacham takes precedence, we assume he would want to support Tam Chacham first. Carve Tam Chacham, if it's a relative Tam Chacham, again, Tam Chacham Kaidim, Tam Chacham goes first. Okay, so what's the Shaila? Let's take the two leftovers. Ibrahim Lu, stop at this. Shacham and Carve, my, if there's a Shacham and Carve that came, both named Tivya, a relative and a neighbor, who comes first? Tashima Taif Shachin Karev. Me'avrachik, a close neighbor is better than a distant brother. So we assume the person wants to have better relationship with his neighbor than necessarily, obviously he wants to have a relationship with his brother, but he's more worried about keeping his neighbor in good straits than his brother who lives further away. Shneim kreim, what if they're both kreim? Shneim shneim, what if they're both shneim? Shneim chacham, what if they're both chachamim? Who goes first from the two with the same name and both with the same criteria? Shuda the daini. We leave it up to the judge to decide. Famous machlekes, Rashi is exactly what shudaini means. Either let the stronger one win or the one that the daini sees to be more fit, that is the strong one, meaning start the one with the stronger rias. We listen to the rias and we see which one is stronger rias. Or, no, the one that judges to seem to make the accusation known, the one that they seem fit. We'll see more about them at the beginning of tomorrow's daf. Have a wonderful day.